All right. Well, we are working our way through the biblical story of Joshua. And I just have to say, I just find it fascinating how relevant his story and the story of the people of Israel is. It's thousands of years old. It's 3,000 years old. But we mirror their history. Like, we're the same people in some way. So just a little context, first of all, for the book of Joshua, just to frame the book of Joshua. After living as slaves for 400 years, the people of Israel in Egypt, they're rescued by God, and they slowly are taking over their new homeland, the promised land. And first they had Moses as their leader, and now Joshua is their leader. And they only have one small challenge, and that is to kick out or destroy every living thing in the land. Okay, well, by this point in the story, today's story, they had attacked and leveled two cities, Jericho and Ai, and things were going reasonably well. But in the last scene, they made this huge mistake by making a deal with these people called the Gibeonites, a kingdom they were supposed to destroy. Last week, Merle talked about that, and he reminded us of the importance of seeking God, not just practical wisdom. Well, this seems to make sense, so let's do this. That's going to get you into all kinds of trouble. So in today's story, we'll see the consequences of that sin. And, you know, I just want to note that sin always has consequences. We don't always think it does, because you don't see it at first. Sin doesn't come to you and like, do this, but by the way, here's the potential side effects, you know? Rapid heart rate and like hard breathing or whatever. It doesn't come to you with that list. It just comes to you in all its glory. But there's always consequences. They show up, side effects, you could call them, sooner or later. So let's read together out of Joshua chapter 10. I'm reading out of the New International Version. Joshua chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it. Okay, I can't go any farther. Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem? The holy city. The city of David. The place where Jesus left from, the place where Jesus is coming back to. And at this point, what? It's owned and led by some wicked king. If that isn't a mini example of how God takes what was originally a disastrous mess and redeems it for good, I don't know what else is. Anyhow, so I'm off track already. This guy, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and become their allies. This is the mistake I was referring to. He, that is the king of Jerusalem, and his people were so very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. It wasn't just some little, you know, Bridgewater. So Adonai Zedek, no offense to Bridgewater. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to four other regional kings. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites joined forces. They moved up with all their troops, took up positions against Gibeon, and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in camp at Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. On the way, apparently after they had left, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them." Is that not the most common thing God seemed to tell Joshua? "I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the Israelites. Little help there. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Aijalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There's never been a day before it or since like this, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Let's pray. God, we come to you humbly. This story will make no sense to us unless you breathe life into it. We can't afford to leave here the same way we came in. God, all across this room and everybody who listens to this thing online, we're desperate to hear something from you, to be changed, to live differently. Would you help us? Would you speak your truth to every person who listens, regardless of what I speak? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I don't know about y'all, but I need this story right now in my life. I grew up Mennonite, pacifism. I signed the conscientious objector thing. I don't like war. I don't like to think about war. I think differently now. But I will just say there are times when there is no other solution than for some kind of violence. I need this story, and I need stories like it, because life has become war, and I'm sick and tired of losing. I'm not even competitive anymore like I used to be. I'm just tired of losing. There are several situations in my life that feel like war. Situations that are only going to work out if God does something. I've tried everything I can think of. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've followed the advice of my mentors. I've worked as hard as I can. I've tried tough love. I've tried radical grace. I've tried to be aggressive. I've tried to be patient. And I'm still not seeing what I believe God wants to do, and I'm still hoping God will do. And anyone there with me? Yeah, I know, it's true. Anybody else in some kind of impossible situation? A relationship that's not going right? A financial or health or work or parent or child situation? Anyone else facing an area in their life that's not right, or life in general that's not turning out the way it was supposed to? Welcome to the club. You're not alone. You're in good company. We're all there together. We need this story. We need this story, and we need to review. This is our history. We need to be reminded that God will always come through. Not necessarily on your timeline, not necessarily in the way you think he will, but he will always come through. He will always overcome his enemies and our enemies. You don't need to understand God for that to be true. You don't need to understand how he does things to benefit from his power. Joshua didn't really understand that it was the earth that needed to stop, not the sun necessarily, in order to get this daylight thing. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
That's right.
What mattered is that he believed God could do something, and he followed God in this crazy thing. And as a result of it, he experienced the truth that God will come through in bigger ways than you can imagine. So let's look at this story a little more closely. When they heard their allies were under attack, Joshua and the Israelites didn't hesitate. They went straight up. They had made this vow to these people, and they weren't going to hedge on it. But that vow, keeping that vow, was no small thing. The march from Gilgal, can we have this map? Okay, the march, look at this thing. Is this not cool? The march from Gilgal to Gibeon, just by way, here's Jerusalem, here's the Mediterranean Sea, here's the Dead Sea. The march from Gilgal to Gibeon required a climb over these mountains with a vertical climb of 3,000 feet and distance of 20 miles. That is an 8 to 10 hour hike at best with a lot of gear, a lot of people, and a whole lot of time to think. And it's all in the dark, and all the while knowing a confederation of five armies are awaiting them. I just happen to wonder what Joshua was thinking. What was running through his head, marching through those Judean hills in the darkness of night? What was he thinking? What was he feeling? Regret? Why did we ever make that dumb deal with these people in the first place? Frustration. Why me? Why do I have to do this thing? Fear. Five armies, five kings waiting for us, rested, battle ready, while we're climbing over mountains all night long. How is this thing going to go? But there was something else running through his head, too. God told him, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. None of them will be able to withstand you." This is what he was meditating on. This is what he's focusing on. What you choose to focus on, what you choose to think about, meditate on, visualize, drives a lot of what's going to happen to you. It's how we prepare. So at any one time, I've got 2, 3, 12 projects going on with wood, usually with wood. And right now, I'm trying to build this wood wall in my office. I'm building fence at home. I'm building a desk for my office. And I'm past due on a big farm kitchen table for my wife in our house. So I find that I just lay there and think about these things over and over and over and over. And that visualization is part of how I prepare. I don't even really think about it. But then when I go to do the actual work, a huge portion of it's done because I've been visualizing. Anybody who's in construction or a mechanic, you know, you lay at night thinking about this thing, and then you get down to do it, and it comes together. Not always like it does on TV, but it does come together. Hey, can I have those notes? Sorry. It's worth a lot, okay? It's worth a lot. All right, here's the thing. I'm trying to use this iPad, and it didn't update. What the world? So much for technology. I was like, what you choose to focus on, what you choose to think about, what you choose to meditate on has a huge impact on what you do in that circumstance when you get the chance. Now, I'm not talking about positive, happy thinking, okay? If you've watched the kids' movie Inside Out, you know that it was sadness who actually saved the day. I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about promise thinking. It's how we prepare. Instead of focusing on regret or fear or frustration that whole march, Joshua likely meditated and focused on and visualized the promise that God had given them. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Amen. That's what drove him through the night. That's what empowered him for that whole day. By the time they arrived at the battle, Joshua and the army were so ready, so confident. They were strengthened for a full 24 hours of fighting after an all-night 20-mile march. And sure enough, God did everything he promised. They took him by the surprise. God at first confused their enemies. The word there means he somehow created this kind of noise to distract and confuse the enemies. Then he brings a storm with hail and destroys more of them with that than the Israelites do. But as the sun starts to go down and Joshua could see that the people starting to scatter, he remembers God's promise. He's like, wait a second. God said, not one of them will be able to withstand. And he'd become so confident of that promise that he prayed for time to stop so they could finish their mission. All right, it's easy to get distracted by this part of the story. We get into this sun stop, you know, we start thinking about that. Or we start thinking about the brutality of the wars. Or we just dismiss the whole thing because, well, good for Joshua, but I don't have faith that this sermon is ever going to end. I mean, we're like, but this story isn't only about Joshua and his radical faith. That is a very important part of it. This is a story also about the power of God and the deep desire of God to use his power for a very specific purpose. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. Moon, stand still over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. God stopped time, not so the people could rest, which would have been nice after being fighting and marching for 36 hours. He stopped time not so they could regroup and redirect their strategy. God stopped time for one reason, to destroy their enemies. He did something they could not possibly do on their own, exhausted, outnumbered, and to make it even more amazing, stay with me here, God used their sin, their alliance with Gibeon, as the opportunity for the biggest victory yet. If you read on in the story, you see that Joshua subdued the whole region, the whole southern region of Canaan through this thing, just as God commanded. If you're willing, each of you, if you're willing, God will take you, mistakes and failures and all, and he'll work specifically through those failures and weaknesses to avenge himself and to avenge himself on his enemies and our enemies. The very trouble you're in right now, think about that for a minute. Anybody in any kind of mess? Yes, you are. The very thing the enemy is trying to use to disqualify you and discourage you is the exact place where God wants to turn that battle around on the enemy. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever trouble you're in, whether it's your fault or whether it's the fault of someone else, God wants to use that trouble as the door for revenge opportunity. Now, let's be clear. People are not our enemies. Your boss, your parents, your spouse, your ex-spouse, your Facebook nemesis, your kids, no matter how difficult people are making your life, they are not your enemy. And even if they treat you like one, according to Jesus, you're supposed to love them and serve them, do good to them. We're talking about a far bigger enemy here that God is looking to get revenge on. Every day, newsflash, you wake up to war. What's happening in Ukraine is a horrible thing, but there is some kind of war that we all wake up to every day here. I know it sounds dramatic, but it's important to remember every day you wake up to a daily assault from the enemy who is trying to mess with your life and to do so primarily through your mind and your emotions. As the Apostle Paul once said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. And let me tell you, Paul had a lot of, you know, flesh and blood enemies. We're fighting against something worse. We're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Thank God, these are the specific enemies God has promised to help us overcome. God's not interested in your life getting back to normal, back to like pre-COVID normal or pre-trouble normal. He's not interested in that. He's interested in seeing his entire vision for your life and this world fulfilled. And he's committed to that vision for your life and this world more than you know, more than you care. And he's actively looking to attack all the fear, all the insecurity, all the anxiety that manifests itself in a million different ways, all of which I would say at the root are fear. And he's looking for us to partner with him. And what we focus on, or might I say who we focus on, determines who we're partnering with. All right, I need a dad and a kid. Any dad and kids in here? Preston, can you come up here? I want to do a little illustration. I'm just winging this. I didn't practice this. So if it bombs, it's just how it goes. Okay, darling. Okay, why don't you stand right here? Okay. Now, why don't you stand right over here, honey? We're going to give you chocolate or something for doing this. It'll be good. Okay. Now, this is Preston and Carter Gardner. I knew their name. I temporarily forgot it. Okay, stand over here. Okay. Now, and what's your name, darling? Kendall. Kendall? Mm-hmm. Kendall. That's great. You're doing a great job. This will be very brief. Kendall has two choices here. You can't focus on two things at once. Kendall can focus on me. I'm the enemy. Or Kendall can focus on her parents representing God. When Kendall focuses on me, on the enemy, she's not initially thinking, I'm going to focus on the enemy. But by focusing on her fears, her doubts, her worry, she's focusing on me. She's partnering with me. Kendall, honey, look at me. Shake my hand. Look at that. Imagine if Joshua had focused on regret, frustration, fear. What's wrong with me? Why did I do this? We're all going to die. What happens, though, when she focuses on her parents, representing God? She can't even see me. When you focus on the promises of God, when you focus on the goodness of God, you're strengthened like Joshua was. You're prepared for trouble, and this focusing on God is how you partner with God. All right. Can we give her a big round of applause? Great job! There is a huge bag of chocolate in the office we're going to give to you. Anyway, it's your choice. What are you going to focus on? There are enemies actively trying to destroy your life to keep you from inheriting the land God created for you to live in. We're going to close singing this song, God, I Look to You, which is just beautiful because, like, I hadn't prepared for this song to be in the set. It's just there. And I want to invite you to use it as a chance to refocus your attention on God and to sing it as a commitment to turning away from every other distraction. After we sing it, I'm going to invite you for prayer. I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer. And I'm going to invite some of you who've never yet made that initial step of commitment to following Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray for you too. Can we pray? And we're going to sing. Sorry, I didn't give you all any warning. God, we look to you. You are where our help comes from. God, give us vision to see you as you truly are. Give us vision to see things like you do. God, forgive us for looking a million other places for comfort, for security, for answers. You have it all. God, we get overwhelmed. Would you help us, God, to have your peace and your confidence? You're the only source for everything true. We honor you in Jesus' name. Isaiah said, of the expansion of his kingdom, there will be no end. How awesome is that? All right, for someone here today, it's time for you to take the very first step in following God. He's ready and he's waiting for you to save you from eternal, permanent hell and to rescue you from all of the little experiences that feel like hell. The Apostle Paul said it like this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is where it all starts. This is the beginning. If you've never done that before, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. If you're ready for God to take his rightful place leading your everyday life, if you want to be saved from fear, from guilt, saved from the permanent death we call hell, and you've never asked God to do that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I know in a lot of churches, probably most churches, they say we're all going to close our eyes. But your salvation is so visible, you might as well do it with all of us looking at you. If there's anybody here who's never made that first step, all I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand right now and we'll pray with you. Is there anyone here? Okay, that means there's work for all of us to do and bring some people in here that need that prayer. The second, can we have ministry team come forward? Ministry team, maybe get some small group leaders up here. We've got a whole tribe over at Betel, so we need some, might need some added people. If you are feeling particularly under attack from some kind of enemy, something you're just tired of battling with, something you've been fighting against and you cannot seem to fight off, I'm just telling you, you would benefit a great deal from coming forward and letting someone pray with you. So I'm going to dismiss us and then invite you to come forward in prayer. God, I thank you for the time to be in your house today. I thank you for the chance to be reminded of your truth. And I pray blessing over everyone here, everyone who watches or listens online, that their ears would be attuned to your voice, that their bodies would be strong to follow you, that their minds and their hearts would be clear and free of fear and guilt. I pray that you would convict and comfort every person here in the unique way they need it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, come forward for prayer while you can. Otherwise, God bless you. Love you all. See you soon.